listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Sunday's game against the Lions is sponsored by Ford, and the first 16,000 fans to get to the stadium will receive a free Browns team poster at the Southeast, Southwest, or Brownstown entrances. If you miss getting a poster at the game, stop into your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and pick one up while supplies last. I've seen the poster. It's pretty cool. Nice F-150 in there. Kind of reminds me of the one I was driving. A silver kind of deal with the team, you know, with the players and such. It's a very, it's a poppin'. It's a nice, nice poster. So make sure you get into that. We periodically take you inside the locker room, and our own Jameer Howerton does that on this show. And today, a very interesting guy that we know you're going to want to hear from, Paul Kruger. Jameer, take it away.
Well, Paul, if you can just break down the week of preparing, how's practice been going for the team?
It's been going really good. I feel like the focus has been there. You know, that break that we had from, you know, Thursday night game to now, I feel like we came back and refocused yesterday and, you know, got moving around. So I feel like today we'll have a really good day of practice, and, you know, we're just back at it.
There's a lot of excitement surrounding this game. You guys have the opportunity to win four in a row. How much do you guys really focus and key in on that?
I mean, that's what we're doing all day, every day. So it's definitely at the forefront of our minds. Detroit's a great team, and we have a lot of respect for them. And so we know we got to bring our A game. And so this week of preparation is our main focus, and we're trying not to look beyond one week at a time. And so Detroit's really the only thing in our minds right now.
When you break down the film study and really drill down, what is that one thing that they do well?
I think they just have the ability to stretch the field. I mean, they have big time playmakers. So anytime you have guys like that, you know, you have to make sure that they don't have the type of games they can have, because that's it's their strong weapons, is being able to, you know, get down the field in a hurry, good quarterback, strong arm. You know, obviously Reggie Bush poses a lot of threat as well. So I just think their individual players, you know, which obviously make up their offense, I think that's, you know, their strength. They work well as a team, but I think their individual efforts are what make them really good.
From all the reports, it's a game-time decision whether or not wide receiver Calvin Johnson will be playing or not. Does that factor into the way you guys are preparing?
No, because we always just assume they're playing. I mean, you know, Calvin is he poses obviously as one of the best receivers in the game right now. I think he's, I'm sure he's going to try to play in this game. If not, you know, we'll carry on as usual. And so, you know, I'd love to see him play. I mean, I always want to see teams at their best. And he's a great player, a lot of respect for him. So we're definitely getting ready for him.
This front seven has prided itself on stopping the run and looking at their free agent acquisition and running back Reggie Bush. What type of threat does he pose to you guys?
Yeah, he's just an explosive guy. I mean, he's extremely fast. You know, if he gets an open field, it's bad news. I mean, he's just one of those guys that can get from point A to point B in a hurry, and very athletic. You know, can make a lot of things happen. So with him, it's just containing him, trying to keep him in the box, because like I said, once he bounces out or gets an open field, he's dangerous.
And Paul, for yourself, looking here, you guys are heading into week six of the NFL season. What are some of the things that you're working on to strengthen your game?
For me, just I think main thing for me is getting more pressure on the quarterback. You know, I've had some games where I feel like I won a lot of rushes and you know, did well, but I'm not getting there in time enough. So that's really my main focus right now. You know, keep playing the run way we're playing it. But you know, for me personally, it's just going to be getting to the quarterback more often.
Well, Paul, thanks for your time, and good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you so much. You know, interesting to listen to Paul Kruger and to listen to his observation of what this Lions offense is all about. When you're playing a team out of your conference, you have to – these are the weeks that require much more research. You know, I thought about the challenge that the Browns faced last week. It was an out-of-division game with Buffalo, and even though they had faced the Bills the year before, obviously this was a far different snapshot, different coach, different everything, so it might as well have, again, been a team that they didn't face the year before. And in a short week, I think that posed its problems of preparation.
Sure.
I think this is another one of those weeks where, you know, you don't really, you saw them in the preseason, but you're not seeing what you're going to see, what you're going to see Sunday. And I think that from Kruger's standpoint, you know, he seems to have a pretty good feel for the multiple ways that this offense comes at you. And I think there's a confidence level that you sense from the defensive side of the ball that they can handle most of what's going to come at them. I mean, including the Calvin Johnson discussion. And you know, they can't get caught up in counting on him not to play, right? They've got to prepare,
sure,
as if he is playing.
As well they should. And even if Calvin Johnson does play, I think this is, again, a team that matches up very well for what the Cleveland Browns are able to do. Paul Kruger is having a very solid season. You get Sheard back. You got Phil Taylor, Desmond Bryan, Ataba Rubin. I mean, think about that front right there. It is brutal for an opposing team to try to deal with. And DeQuell Jackson, Craig Robertson playing well. Still get Mingo to come in. Groves is back. Lots of guys. Our Monty Bryant played well last week. I mean, Hughes has been playing well. You don't get Billy Winn, but still, lots up there, and they should feel confident. I think that when you talk about the path to success, the path to victory for this Browns team, it always is going to start with the defense, but there are certain types of teams that I believe the Browns match up with better than others, and a team that does not have a dominant number two receiver, a team that does not have a dominant number two receiver and a good slot receiver, or a dominant vertical tight end, those teams are not going to give the Browns a lot of problems, even if they do truly have one dominant receiver. The fact of the matter is, that's what the Lions, it's the same thing with the Cincinnati Bengals. That's why the Browns, I think, are well positioned to slow down this offense. And I think the Browns feel good about that. They're similar. There are a lot of similarities right now between Cincinnati and between Detroit. Giovanni Bernard, an air back. He can hurt you in space. He can run it. He can catch it. They have another big back that can complement him, Joique Bell versus Ben Jarvis, although Bell a better pass catcher. The right. Two tight ends, the dominant number one, no real established number two or number three. It's a very similar presentation for what the Browns did very well against back in week number four.
Another interesting thing for me is the nasty factor.
I love it.
All right, and I'm going to talk about it from the Lions offensive line perspective. Dominic Riola. Pretty nasty dude.
He's
a notorious. You talk about notorious.
Yes,
you've given me that name.
He's like El Guapo. He's infamous.
He's infamous as well as notorious. He is a guy who, and we know about on the defensive side of the ball, we know about Ndamukong Suh and his extracurricular activity. I was watching the video again last night of what he did to Jake Delhomme back in 2010, which was just sick, you know, where he grabs him by the face.
That was a preseason game.
Tries to twist his head off. Okay, can't get the head twisted off, so let me wrap my arms around his neck and then slam him to the ground. And he got fined for that, among the many fines he's gotten. And then the hit he had on out of bounds on Trent Richardson, we saw that. I mean, hit him on the sideline. I shouldn't say it was a legal hit. It was clean, but it was also just devastating. But Dominic Riola has an attitude. He brings this dude with him to every situation, and making all these these verbal, all these catcalls and different things that he was saying that he shouldn't have said to the Wisconsin band that was performing at the game. Really? In Green Bay. Really? I mean, you get that carried away with things that you've got to actually take on the band and say and comment about how people look and make all these comments that were so inappropriate. And the team was upset about that. But that's Dominic being Dominic. And so if he's doing that to the other team's band,
That's another thing. It's not even the other team's band.
No, right. He was in that state. They were in the same state, so that bugged him. But just to see what he brings to the nasty level, and then I think of Phil Taylor, who's right across there. You know, I think of the Browns' nasty level, and Phil Taylor's part of that. Jabal Sheard, for as quiet a guy as he is, turns into a different human being on the field.
I like
it. He can dog cuss as well as anybody. He will get into verbal exchanges. And he's told me about this. He says, you know, something comes over me when I'm out there. I do turn into a different guy. It's a personality transformation. Hopefully, you know, he's not yelling at the bands and stuff, but he's keeping it within the game. But you know what? When you can back it up with, and as you said, you saw from Pro Football Focus, that rating on him, even if he's in the top 10 of outside linebackers or top 5, and that says 3, the third best, that tells you the kind of impact he's making, and it almost makes you wish, What if he were in this type of scheme for his whole time in the league? How many Pro Bowls would he already be in? How many, you know what I mean? He might be the kind of guy you look at. I'm not going to say you're going to call him a defensive player of the year candidate because he's not racking up enough stats for that, enough
right.
sacks. But still, but there's a temperament and attitude that he brings with that talent. Phil Taylor brings it in his own quiet way. So does Ataba Rubin. But I know the Lions' offensive line is playing with some attitude.
Oh, they're playing with a lot of attitude, and that's okay because the Browns have that attitude right back. And I think it's going to be a good battle at the point of attack on both sides of the ball for the Browns' offense and the Lions' defense and the Browns' defense and the Lions' offense. And I'm excited to see it. And yes, you're right. Jabal Sheard, 14.5 sacks his first 2 years in the league, so he still was great as a 4-3 DN, but I think he was meant to play 3-4 outside linebacker in an attacking scheme like the one being implemented by Ray Horton. So I think you're right. I said at the beginning of the season, I think he's going to the Pro Bowl. I still think that. I'm glad he's back, and he's got 11 more games to continue getting it done.
Yeah, and back to the Sue factor and this D-line doing its nasty thing, I don't want to see an instance where somebody gets an extra hit or something, and it's going to happen, you know, in this game. And I do want to, I don't want to see what I normally see, which is guys not really like responding and rallying to the point of that player and making it known to Sue and everyone else from the Lions that that's not okay. You can't do that to our guy. And I'm not encouraging a penalty. When I start going down this road, I know people saying, well, you're just going to make the situation worse. It's the second guy who gets the flag and all that stuff that people count on. But I don't care. I think it'll be worth at least the first time around to let that guy know. Easy for me to say because I'm not the one
going
up against
him.
I'm not out there, and I don't want to tangle with Ndamukong Suh within 1,000 yards of him. But I am saying that guys who are padded up, who are playing, who are big and strong and physical, that they've got to let it be known within this front and within this team that you don't get away with that. You don't come into our house and try to knock down our guys and do a little extra stuff against our guys. Be aware of that. Don't, because I thought, and again, I've seen it too many times. He's got to have, there's got to be, yeah, there's got to be a little bit of a price to pay. All right.
Agreed.
We've got Jerod Cherry, and I want to talk with Jerod about this. I'm fired up about this topic. I want to hear Jerod get into this whole idea of the kind of policing I think you have to do within the game to let the other team know that they can't get away with stuff. That is coming up on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR.